Let's turn now in God's Word to Genesis and chapter 48. Genesis 48. Genesis 48, we'll be reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 22. Genesis 48. And beginning in verse 1, these are the words of the living and true God. And it came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, "Behold, thy father is sick." And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And one told Jacob and said, "Behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee," and Israel strengthened himself and sat upon the bed. And Jacob said unto Joseph, "God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me, and said unto me, Behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee, and I will make of thee a multitude of people, and I will give and will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. And now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt, before I came unto thee into Egypt, are mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. And thy issue, which thou begettest after them, shall be thine, and shall be called after the name of their brethren in their inheritance. And as for me, when I came from Paddan, Rachel died by me in the land of Canaan in the way, when yet there was but a little way to come unto Ephrath. And I buried her there in the way of Ephrath, the same as Bethlehem. And Israel beheld Joseph's sons and said, Who are these? And Joseph said unto his father, They are my sons whom God hath given me in this place. And he said, Bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them. Now the eyes of Israel were dim for age, so that he could not see. And he brought them near unto him, and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God hath showed me also thy seed. And Joseph brought them out from between his knees, and bowed himself with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him, and he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, Not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head. And his father refused and said, I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. And he blessed them that day, saying, In thee shall Israel bless, saying, God make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And he said, Ephraim before Manasseh. And Israel said unto Joseph, Behold, I die, but God shall be with you, and bring you again unto the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to thee one portion above thy brethren, which I took out of the hand of the Amorites with my sword and with my bow. Those are God's words. The chapter details the end of Jacob's life, how First, he became sick with Joseph visiting him in verses 1 and 2. And through verse 16, Jacob adopts Joseph's sons to be his own, and so they receive Jacob's inheritance, practically granting Joseph the double portion of the inheritance that typically went to the oldest son. And here we see the reason why. First, as we look ahead, there is not a tribe of Joseph, but there are two tribes of the 12 called Ephraim and Manasseh. And remember, we'll see in the next chapter, the Levites will not get a tribe or a part of the land. And so that makes up for their not getting a part of the land. And so there's 12 tribes, including Ephraim and Manasseh. And Jacob blesses them just as Isaac blessed Jacob instead of Esau. And blessing the two, he crossed his hands, verse 14, and explains this, verses 17 through 20. This is, and blessing Ephraim the younger with the right hand, granting him the greater blessing. And the Lord through Jacob showing the future. That though Manasseh would become a great people, Ephraim would become even greater. Ephraim would become a multitude of nations, which reminds us of the covenant with Abraham, in which Abraham was the father of a multitude of nations. Jacob also blesses Joseph, giving him a portion in which Joseph would be buried. We read about in John 4, or we read about it in John 4. It says, "Then cometh he to a city of Samaria." This is, remember the instance of the Samaritan woman in the at the well, and Jesus and the living water. It says, "Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which he is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph." Jacob and Joseph were looking both to the promised land and the promises of the heavenly country to be buried there. And Jacob gives them a part of the land to be buried in which the Israel, when they come up from Egypt, they'll carry Joseph's bones. And they'll bury him in that parcel of land. And in John, there where that's mentioned about that land Jacob gave to his son Joseph, we're reminded how we can receive such a blessing by coming to the living waters in Jesus Christ. And as you must come now unto Jesus Christ for your eternal life. And so we remember as we live here as strangers, as pilgrims, put off vanities. This is not your home. This is not your inheritance. Something greater awaits the people of God. First Peter, we are reminded of the blessing that the inheritance that the Lord gives to us as His people. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and not fadeth and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." And so there we're encouraged that we're not here to build mansions on earth and living in the vanities of this world as we're learning in Ecclesiastes, but let us live in tents if need be until we're called to that great mansion that God has prepared for us, His people, in glory. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we give You praise for Your Word. We're thankful for the inheritance that we have promised to us, that we have already in Jesus Christ, Your Son, that first and foremost of that inheritance that we inherit already is You, Lord. Our inheritance, we are told in 1 Peter, is You. And that's just a part of our inheritance, and yet You're everything, Father, and in Your Son and by Your Holy Spirit. You're everything. You're all we need. And Father, we ask that You would cause us to see this in the depths of our souls, that all we need is You. We don't need the things of this world. and coveting after so many of the vanities and the pleasures of this world. We just need You. We need Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, to be our Savior, to be our Redeemer, to be our King, and our Prophet who speaks to us, and our Priest who died for us, and who prays for us. We're thankful, Father, that You, through Your Son, that You rule on the throne over all creation. And we come submitting unto You to worship You this day. Father, we do pray and ask for Your help now. We pray for our congregation here, that You would bless Your people, that You would grant to us salvation, which we know comes alone in Christ Jesus. That You grant to us fervor, zeal, boldness for the truth and for Your Word. That You would grant to us comfort and guidance by Your Holy Spirit. Grant to us wisdom that comes from Christ alone through Your Word. And so as we read Your Word today, grant us knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Turn us from the wicked ways of the world. And as we struggle with being numb to all those things that are happening around us in society, in our country, because it's so prevalent, it just seems to become normal to us, Father, may those wicked things, may we know them to be what they are, truly evil, wicked abominations before Your sight. And help us to love what is all good, which is from You alone. We pray that we would be a congregation that loves one another. Make us to be such a people. Help us to be a people who rejoice in the gospel and in seeing the salvation of Your people. Help us to be a people who are not ashamed of the gospel, but evangelize and testify of Your truth and the goodness, the good news of Jesus Christ and the gospel, that many would hear and come to salvation in Christ alone, being saved from their sins and from their wants and in their original sin. Turn them from all those sins and their guilt. Cover it. Deal with it there at the cross, as You have done. And so, Father, we pray that even now You would pardon us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness for Christ's sake. For He is our advocate there before You, Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And we pray that You would hear Him and hear His pleadings and see and receive His righteousness, both His active righteousness and His passive righteousness, His perfect life and His perfect death for us. Receive Him and perfect our worship even now. Father, we ask for Your help. Those who are struggling in their hearts and their souls, bear them up, Father, and grant them comfort alone in Christ. Where they're struggling and they're turning to the things of the world and things of themselves, Father, turn them to You so that they will be truly comforted and truly helped. Father, we do pray also for those who struggle in their bodies. We pray for Dave's mom, Libby, as to strengthen her as she gets nearer and nearer to her death, just as we all are. And she's struggling with confusion and things like this. Help her to be not confused, if that be Your will. And she might praise Your name still while she has breath. We pray for Adasa, that You would heal her, strengthen her, help her to feed from her mother's milk, from her mouth. Help her to not need the help of extra oxygen. Heal her brain more and more by your healing hand. We don't trust in doctors, we trust in you. Heal her, Father, if that be your will. Help her to be praise unto you, that we would give praise unto your name through her life. We know that lots of medical bills are coming in that are far beyond anyone's comprehension of how anyone could pay for them. And Father, we know that hospitals are stubborn and they love money. Father, we also know that you are the God who provides. You say so in your word. And so, Father, we pray that you would provide for Michael and Audrey exactly what is needed. We pray that you would have the hospitals show mercy to them by your mercy and your grace alone. That those bills could be negotiated for far less than what is said now. And Father, we pray that a year from now that we could look back and think at that time we thought it's impossible. But we know with you all things are possible. And so help us in the future to look back and see your faithfulness. Help us to see your healing hand. Prove to us again that you're the God who heals. You've already proven, you don't have to prove you are the God who heals, but prove it again for our weak faith. Prove that you're the God who provides as you promise you will do, and we trust you will do it. But do so that we would look back and think and remember how much you did provide. And that you keep your promises, each one, because you're the God who's faithful. And so, Father, be faithful to your promises to be the God who heals and the God who provides. Do so for all of us. Father, thankful that the McQuashes and the Dangs are here this morning. We've missed them. Pray that you would encourage them, especially today, and bless them. And Father, we pray that you would help us to be cognizant of what's happening in the world, the churches who are being and the Christians who are being persecuted, who are struggling, that we would be compassionate, that we would be those who pray for them and help them physically when we're able. And Father, we pray that you would bear us up, bear our burdens by your Spirit, and help us to do so with one another. In all things we pray that your will would be done and that you would be glorified in all of creation and to the ends of the heavens. And there in glory where we have our hearts raised up now before Mount Zion, before your throne. May your name be given all praise, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.